ॐ शुक्लां भरधरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपजायहे। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ लास्ट नामा वी सॉ वाज नामा नंबर 975, यज्ञ वाहनः, वन हु फुलफिल्स यज्ञास इन कंप्लीट एंड एग्जैक्ट अकॉर्ड विद द वैदिक इंस्ट्रक्शंस। सो लॉर्ड इज द वन हु हेल्प्स अस इन परफॉर्मिंग यज्ञ। ही इज द वन हु एक्टिवेट्स आवर सेंसेस एंड सेंस ऑर्गन्स ऑफ एक्शन and enables us to perform any action, not just, of course, here he's talking about yajna, yajna meaning selfless activities, but when it comes to any action, without the role played by the Lord, it is impossible to do any activity. So therefore, when he says, you know, yajna, without the Lord's participation, it's impossible to do yajna or complete yajna. So one who supports the yajna, which yields various fruits. That's what yajna vahanaha means. So yajna, when you perform, which is a selfless sacrificial activity, there are innumerable benefits we get. In fact, when we conclude Vishnu Sahasranama, the end palastuti is given. What is the phala, the fruit that we get if we, you know, chant Vishnu Sahasranama every day? With sincere bhav, it's not just mechanical chanting. With sincere bhav, if you chant, understanding the meaning and live your life accordingly, what kind of benefits you will get. So, it gives various fruits, beneficial fruits at the material level, at the physical level, at the emotional level, at the intellectual level, relationship level, at all levels. It enhances our life's quality, you know. So all this we get once we live our life based on yajna. We live selfishly. Accordingly, we'll face the karmas also. In fact, in the third chapter of the Gita, Lord Krishna beautifully says, no, in the very beginning, after having created the world, I said, may you live propitiating yourself through yajna. So the way to attain material wealth and success and also attain moksha freedom is through yajna. Even if you do not want moksha freedom and all that, if you perform activities in the spirit of service and sacrifice, obviously you will be materially well off and also the mind will be calm, health will be better. In every sense, yajna will help even in the world. And yajna activities reduce desires. As a result, you will be attaining moksha over a period of time. So therefore, one who supports the yajna is called as yajna vahana. And he is the one who, you know, by supporting the yajna, helps us perform yajna and achieve various results that come through yajnas, the performance of yajna, yajna vahana. One who fulfills yajnas in complete an exact accord with the Vedic instructions. Yajnas has to be performed as per Vedic instructions. Vedic instructions means what? It is not more of just the ritualistic methods that he is talking about. Vedic instructions talk about, can you hear me? Can you all hear me?
Yes,
yeah, because we got some message on the screen saying that you have been signed out.
Can you?
Yeah. So, you know, Vedic instructions, he's not talking about mechanical aspect of the ritual is talking about the inner, deeper meanings. Vedic instructions is about selflessness. It is never about selfishness. So, therefore, for you to fulfill the yajnas in accordance with Vedic injunctions, it is the Atma that is within that helps you. Therefore, Vishnu, who is the Atma within, is called as Yajna Vahanaha. Next verse. Yajna Bhrit Yajna Krit Yajni Yajna Bhuk Yajna Sadhanaha Yajnanta Krit Yajna Bhukhyam Anna Mannada Evacha Yajna Bhrit Yajna Krit Yajni Yajna Bhuk Yajna Sadhanaha Yajnanta Krit Yajna Bhukhyam Anna Mannada Evacha. Yajna Bhrit, the ruler of the yajnas. The ruler of the yajnas again means what? One who is the lord of yajnas. It is the lord who protects us, who enables us and supports us throughout the yajna to conduct the yajna. Therefore, he is called as Yajna Bhrit. One who helps us to conclude successfully all our good, dedicated, selfless acts of service to others. That is called yajnas. This is the interpretation Swami Chinmayanandaji gives. One who helps us to conclude successfully. So the ruler, what is the job of a ruler? Job of the ruler is to make sure the smooth functioning of the country. Isn't it? Law and order should be maintained. People should be living in harmony. Everything should be given to people according to their contribution, etc., etc. So similarly, when you perform yajna, the most important thing is the attitude. You never think that I am doing it. I can't do. There are many times we decide things, but things happen the other way. So we should have that attitude that, you know, without Lord's support, nothing actually happens. Not possible. Everything has a time. Yesterday I met somebody. She said she has been in touch with Vedanta for the last almost 5-6 years or maybe more. She has met few of my colleagues in Ananda Spa whenever she went there. And just few days ago, somebody gave my contact to her. So she said, sir, I've been attending all these sessions whenever I go to Ananda, but nobody told me that you have classes here in Delhi. So when I came to know, I met you, I wanted to meet you, so that's why I called you. So now she wants to start a class. So what I'm saying is, everything, there's a time. Yeah, how it happens, why it happens, we don't know. It happens. We need to keep on doing our efforts. So when you're ready, things will come to you. This is what I told her. So Yajna Bhrit, the ruler of yajnas. All good activities and bad activities also cannot happen without support of the Lord. But when you take steps to do something positive, the self within seems to support you more. It's not that it supports less in the other case. Since it is an activity that will help you to get to the self, the action itself becomes tivra and inspiring for you to do it more. That's all. It is not from the self angle that it is partial, supporting this more and less that, nothing like that. So the ruler of the yajna, one who helps us to conclude the yajna successfully and, achieve the results. It's called Yajna Krit. And Yajna Krit, again, Yajna Krit means one who performs yajna. See, you need to have Ishwara Anugraha to be able to perform yajna. Mind is always wanting to be selfish. No. Mind is only interested in fulfilling the likes and dislikes. Mind combining with ego is the Kamsa and Chanura within. It destroys the beautiful land of Mathura. Kamsa and Chanura were ruling Mathura now. And they were destroying the whole city. So similarly, this beautiful, sweet land of our physical, our personality basically, is destroyed by the whims and fancies of the mind and the dictates of the ego. As a result, we have lost the sweetness and peace within. As children, we had all the bliss, peace, nicely enjoying life. As we become old, when the mind starts developing and the ego starts firming up more, we have gotten into all kinds of disharmony, disturbance, agitation, etc. So therefore, one who performs yajna, yajna krit. When you perform any selfless activity, you are yourself God. You have got the grace of the Lord. Hence you are called as yajna krit. Yajna krit means God is doing. Because the individual ego has given way to the divinity within. When the individual ego has given way to the divinity within, then who is performing the yajna? It is the Lord who is performing the yajna. It's not the individual anymore. It is not possible to do yajna keeping your ego. So therefore, yajna krit. One who performs yajna. This is what is the meaning of yajna krit. Also, the meaning the translation given in the book I gave you says, one who performs yajna at the beginning and the end of the world. So what it means is, the world, like I said in the chapter 3 of the Bhagavad Gita, it says, when the world was created, the very world is created as yajna. It's the yajna of the totality. And that yajna will be concluded by the totality. So therefore, he says, one who performs yajna at the beginning and the end of the world. So therefore, he is called as yajna-krit. And in this world, which is itself a creation that has come out of yajna of the Lord, we remain being selfish, self-centered. No. Therefore, he says, no, it's the sacrifice. Brahman's effort doesn't mean Brahman is putting in effort. Brahman is not putting in any effort. The Maya Shakti within manifests itself as this universe. So that's the yajna, that's the sacrifice, that's the giving out. So it's the Lord who is the performer of yajna. And he is the one who takes it back, dissolves. So at the end of the world, at the same time beginning, both are considered as yajna. Only when the end is done, the new beginning is possible. The end is not done, the new beginning is not possible. Same thing continuing, you'll get bored. So therefore, both are considered yajna. And next is yajni. Yajni means one who is constant enjoyer of the perpetual yajnas. I have explained this to you in a different context also. See, for example, you are seeing me, I am seeing you. Your form, the color, enters my eyes. There's yajna going on. So in the fire of sight, the color and form is offered. Then from within, the perception is kindled. Yajna, there is fire into which you offer, and then the fire shoots up, oblation. Fire shoots up once the oblation is done. Similarly, when the color is form, color and form is offered into the eyes, the perception shoots up. I see you. Right? You see me. Now, is it the eyes that is actually enjoying it? Eyes per se is insentient. It's not sentient. Similarly, if you go deeper, is it the mind that is enjoying? Mind per se also is insentient. It's not sentient. Then, where does it go and end finally? Finally, it ends in consciousness. So, it is that consciousness that is the real enjoyer. So, therefore, he says, Yagni. Yagni, one who is the constant enjoyer of perpetual yajnas. In all yajnas, because every act is Narayana, centered God dedicated to him alone, is the attribute of being the only single enjoyer. So when you do the yajna, you offer it to Lord Narayana, who is within and without. So he is the one who enjoys everything. So the real enjoyer is the Lord. And then the next word is yajna krut, yajna krut, yajni, yajna book. Yajna book means all that is offered into the sacred fire during a yajna, though with an invocation to any of the deities, in tender devotion and joy, goes to him alone, the one receiver of all that is offered. For all deities are but Narayana in different forms. This is the explanation Swami Chinmayanandaji gives. Yajna book. One who is the enjoyer of yajna, a protector of yajna. Finally, yajni, yajna book, all this means the same from different angles. So, yajna itself is Narayana. One who performs is Narayana. One who enjoys is Narayana. And what is offered is Narayana. Isn't that what is happening in this world? Right? Sun is sacrificing, moon is sacrificing, earth is sacrificing. Everything is sacrificing. Only human beings sometimes act selfish. Not sometimes, most of the times. Very selfish. So possessive. Therefore, he says, the way to uplift yourself is through performance of yajna. So here when he says yajna book, what you offer in the yajna, that is also Brahman only. Everything that you put into the fire is Brahman. You are thinking that you are putting something different. It's all the same. There is nothing that is not Brahman. Brahman is offered into Brahman in one form to another. That's all. So yajna book. Then yajna sadhanaha. Yajna sadhana means yajna is the path. Yajna is the sadhana. By fulfilling the yajnas, you drop the vasanas. So it's a sadhana. Yajna sadhana. Very yajna sadhana, Lord lives. That's what it means. In the manner with which you put in the effort and you destroy the ego, the Lord shines. Whenever you are doing any unselfish or selfless activity, Lord shines. Because you have allowed yourself to be a little bit distanced. When you step aside, the divinity shines forth. So, yajna sadhana. When you do yajna, you do your sadhana, you destroy the ego. One to whom the yajna is the approach. So the Lord doesn't know anything else other than yajna. So wherever there is selfless activity going on, Lord is present there. Wherever there is selfish actions going on, the ego is trying to cover up the Atma. And that's why there is so much of bitterness, all kinds of negative emotions. So yajna sadhana, one to whom the yajna is the approach. To whom the yajna is approach means what? The way to get back to Brahman is through yajna. So yajna should be your sadhana. So in Yajna Sadhana, the Lord lives. The Lord takes you. In the surrender of the ego and performance of such an action, the Lord is present and the Lord takes you shoulder to shoulder. Yajnantakrit, one who is the end of the fruits of yajna. So what you get as the result in the end of yajna, that is also Brahman only. So yajnantakrit, one who performs, another meaning is, one who performs the last concluding act in all yajnas. What is the last concluding act in all yajnas? Anybody? In the end, yajna in the end, what is the last concluding act?
Swaha, so you're surrendering.
They do the Purnahuti. No? So it's called Purnahuti. Total offerings. In Purnahuti, everything is offered. The very offerer is offered. Initially you are there. You have the ladle. You use it to pour the ghee and everything. Finally everything is completely put inside. It's called Purnahuti.
Purnahuti.
Yajnantakrit means one who performs the last concluding act in all yajnas. He is referring to the Purnahuti. And Purnahuti, even that last bit of ego that is there, that you set it in, say, yeah, that is also Brahman. You do not have any little bit of ego also. So that's called the last item in the yajna. And also, another meaning, as I said, yajnantakrit. In the end, anta means end. When you do yajnakrit, the anta of yajnakrit is what? Fruits. So the fruits that come to you because of hari dedicated action. Hari dedicated means noble actions, selfless actions. That is also Brahman. Then yajna guhyam. Guhyam means secret. The secret of yajna is what? Lord Narayan. Who is to be realized? So, through the yajna, the real secret that is to be revealed is Brahman and Brahman alone. And that secret is Lord. Hence he is called as Yajna Guhyam. Then Annam, one who has become himself the food. Sense objects are the food for the eyes, ears, nose, skin, tongue. So this entire universe, Annam, is known as Brahman, as Vishnu. So, Annam means not just the food that we consume. Every intake, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, all objects are Annam. They are nothing but Brahman. Annada means one who is sitting inside and eating the food. See, the beauty here is, he is covering both the gross world and the subtle world. Gross world, Annam, enjoyed by the subtle body. So it's not only the objective world is the projection of Narayana, but the subjective enjoyer, the individuality, the ego that experiences is also Narayana. So, Lord Narayana himself has become the individual ego and the world, and the tamasha is going on. Enjoyer, ego, enjoying the world. So it's exactly like one mind, maker's mind, becomes the dreamer and the dream world. It has become both the dreamer and the dream world. So therefore, Annam, the food, and Annada, the eater of the food. Both is nothing but Brahman. That's why in the Isavasya Upanishad, I think we've studied Isavasya Upanishad, no? Did we?
Yes.
Yes. Isavasya Upanishad, he says, Magrida Kasya Svitanam. You want to covet another's wealth. You know, Lord Krishna sucking his own toe. Balakrishna. Today is Janmashtami. Balakrishna sucking his own toe. Symbolizing to us that all of us in this world are only interested in running after the material world, accumulating, accumulating, accumulating more and more. That's it, nothing else. It is like you sucking your own toe. That's what he is symbolizing. When Lord Krishna is sucking his own toe as Balakrishna, he's telling us, yeah, you stupid fellows, you don't understand this secret. It's the Lord who has become the individual. Puja, Sadhana, Sandhya, Shweta, Lakshmi Narayan, the individual ego, and this whole world. This computer, this table, this chair, the jewelries, your diamonds, your most expensive watches, your mobile phones, your cars, your house, whatever you can think of. All that is annam. The individual ego is the annada. And there is this transaction going on between annada and annam. Whole life is this. So when you read this, annam, annada, if you forget everything, if you remember these two names, it's enough. Yeah, annam, annada. So the annada, the subject is also Atma. The object is also Atma. So the subject not knowing this truth, courting, and then feeling, I don't have it. This madness is going. Therefore, he says, you know, the Jivatman, the individual who experiences, and annam, the whole world, is nothing but Vishnu. So just like one waker's mind that has become the dreamer and the dream world. The dreamer experiences the dream world. That's the secret he's teaching here. Yajna Guhyam. Through the yajna activities we are supposed to know this. And you don't really crave. Automatically in your life you will start having that deeper contentment. So, annam, annada. Next. Atmayoni swayam jato vaikana samagayana devaki nandana srashta kshiti sharpapanashanaha atmayoni swayam jato vaikana samagayana devaki nandana srashta kshiti sharpapanashanaha atmayoni. Atma Yoni. Yoni means womb. Atma Yoni means he is the material cause. One who is himself the material cause for himself, the self-born, the uncaused cause, is the one who is the source of all. There is no material cause other than himself for the universe. He is the one who used himself and produced this world. That's what it means. Basically, it means that he is the uncaused cause. The causeless cause. For everything, there is a cause. You had a father, your father has a father, 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 it goes. Final father is Brahman. Then for him, there is no father. Him or her. So, Atma Yoni, one who is the source of all. The Yoni, the womb, the source, the cause of everything. From him, this material world has come. Into him, the material world dissolves. In him, the material world exists. So when we know this truth, then we will never become a slave to the material world. We'll be using the material world for our growth towards the ultimate. But you will never become a slave to the material. Not possible. Swayam jataha. Now, see, he is using two terms. One is Atma Yoni and Swayam Jata. Swayam Jata again means the cause. And Swayam, he himself is the cause. Swayam Jata. See, what it means is, for every creation, there is a material cause and instrument cause. Material cause for the pot is the clay. The instrument cause for the pot is the pot maker. Okay. Every time I talk about pots, in my mind automatically Shweta comes. Wherever I talk. Now, I have to start talking some other example. So, pots and pot maker. With reference to the world, pots, the material cause is also Brahman. The pot maker is also Brahman. That's all it means. So both the material cause and the instrumental cause is Brahman. Now you may ask, how is this possible? So in the Upanishad, Mundaka Upanishad, have you done Mundaka Upanishad? Anybody?
Isha Upanishad.
Huh?
We did Isha Upanishad.
Oh, we have done only one Upanishad, is it?
Yes, I think so.
Acha, okay. So in Mundaka Upanishad, he gives a beautiful example of a spider. Spider spins the web from its own saliva. So the cause of the web is the spider and its own saliva. Saliva is the material cause, spider is the instrument cause. Similarly, the Maya Shakti is the material cause. And Brahman, the early evening principle supporting it, Ishvara, is the instrumental cause. Therefore, Swayam Jataha, instrumental cause, Atma Yoni, material cause. Vaikanaha, one who excavated the earth, taking a unique form. You know, it is said that Rakshasa took the earth inside and he came and Lord took an avatar and brought it out. One who dug through the earth, cutting through the denseness of the grass to reach, apprehend and kill the subtle Hiranyaksha. The monster's name, the demon's name is Hiranyaksha, the brother of Hiranyakashipu. A fellow took the earth inside. He took the form and brought it out. All it means is earth cannot be going in. You know, I was growing up, I used to think, hey, what is this kind of story they are telling? Earth is going inside the sea. He's taken the earth inside the sea. And his Lord is coming in the form of a pig and then taking it out. Where is he? He is also in the earth. So I used to ask this kind of questions when I was growing up. But when you sit and think, what they are trying to tell is, they are trying to say that the values were going down because of the ruler called Hiranyaksha. Anybody can do whatever they want. I will also live like that. As long as you say, Hail Hiranyaksha, you will be part of my team. Let's all go and enjoy. You know, this kind of a dharma is deteriorating. That's what it means. Earth is going down means what? Earth is not going inside the sea. It means the values are deteriorating. When the values are deteriorating, he comes and took it out. Vaikanaha. So he makes sure, firstly, from him the world has come. And he makes sure that the dharma is maintained. So by knowing that, what we have to do is we have to maintain dharma. Otherwise we'll be in trouble. So the self has to reach us to destroy the ego in us. And give us the liberation from the evil adherence to the body mind. So Vaikanaha means the self, the Atma, that helps us the moment we perform yajna to get rid of all the selfishness and self-centeredness, the insecurities, fear. That is why we do not want to let go. No? What will happen? Letting go. So, Vaikanaha. The Lord who took the avatar brought out the values back and established it again. Sama Gayanaha. Anu sings the Sama songs. Sama Gayanaha means Sama Veda. It's very musical. It's the same. It's not that Sama Veda says something separate from what Rig Veda says. Rig, Yaju, Sama, all Vedas say the same thing only. Don't say anything different. One who recites the Sama chant. See, when the music is chanted in a particular way, in the music, the singer dissolves. In Tamil, we use the word mei marandu. Mei marandu means forgetting this body. One of the meanings of the word mei is body. Mei marandu. You sing forgetting everything you forget. You listen to certain music sometimes. Forget about your pain also. You know, all these dentists, last 2 weeks I was with a dentist. So, there is music going on. As you are lying down in the on the chair, a drilling, all sorts of things are going on. They were doing the implant and all. So, sideways, they have switched on the music, soothing music, so that you focus on that. You're not focusing on the pain or anything. So in Sama Veda, when you chant it, it also regulates your breathing now. When the chanting is done properly, regulates your breathing. And then you lose your ego. So therefore he says, one who recites the Sama chants. That's what Sama Gayanaka. Then, Devaki Nandana. Devaki Nandana, we all know. The son of Devaki, incarnation of Sri Krishna. It's referring to Lord Krishna. Krishna means that which is unknown. That which is unknown to us is the Atma. So, Devaki Nandana. Srashta, the creator of the worlds. The creator of the world is Lord. Creator doesn't mean he has desire to create the world. From him the world is created. Hence he is called as the creator of the world. Kshitishaha, a master of the world. Kshitishaha means one who is the Lord of earth, one is the Lord of the world. The husband of earth is supposed to be the Lord, meaning earth is insentient. The one, the insentient earth is producing so many vegetables. It's making lot of living beings support, get support and live. So who is supporting it? Who is protecting her? Who is protecting Mother Earth? The Lord. Hence he is called as Kshitishaha, the Lord of earth. Husband of earth, mother earth, a protector, nurturer, nourisher. So therefore earth can be taken to be standing for all that is gross. The entire Maya Shakti. And Narayana is the Pati, the Lord of Maya. Lakshmi Pati. And he is the Papa Nashanaha. Not knowing the truth, living in ignorance. They go and do a lot of unnecessary karma and incur papa. So, when we realize the truth, when we understand the secret, the truth behind creation, dissolution, maintenance, and you meditate upon the truth, slowly, slowly, you free yourself from all papas. Papa Nashana. All papa in absolute sense means all vasanas. Good, bad, ugly, all vasanas. Even good vasanas which is tying you to this world has to be eradicated. So he says, Papa Nashana, it destroys all vasanas, all ignorance. You will become self-realized. Next sloka. Okay, with the next sloka, the 1000 namas will end. And then after that is Palastuti. The next sloka. Shankar Brinanda ki chakri shanga dhanva gadadaraka ratangapani rakshobhya sarva prahrana yudaha shanka brinanda ki chakri shanga dhanva gadadaraka ratangapani rakshobhya sarva prahrana yudaha Shankabrit, one who has the divine conch named Panchajanya. Lord Krishna's conch is called as Panchajanya. Which is born of five sense organs. Panchajanya means that which is born of five sense organs. So what does it actually refer to? It refers to the mind. Mind is made up of five sense organs. Mind is the seat of ego. Mind is the seat of ego. So therefore the Shastras declare the conch, the divine hand of Sri Narayana, is the ego factor, ahankara tattva in our personality. So the ahankara tattva in our personality is the conch in Lord Krishna's hand. And therefore he says, Shankabrit, one who has the divine conch. So when you surrender, when you hand over the ego personality in the hands of the Lord, through that when the Lord blows, beautiful sound comes out of it. So therefore, Shankabrit, one who has the divine conch, Panchajanya. It refers to Lord Krishna. Nandaki, again, Nandaki, the Lord's sword is called Nandaka. One who holds and wields Nandaka's sword is called Nandaki. The sword is called Nandaka. One who holds it and wields it is called Nandaki. And very interesting. Nandakam itself means that which brings bliss. So the sword of the Lord is called as Nandaki. And what is that sword representing? Discrimination. You know, you cut the hard surface with the sword of discrimination. Hard surface is the samsara, maya, which has been existing for so long. So the divine sword in the sacred hands of the Lord represents the knowledge. Vidya tattva. Vidya tattva. And when you gain the vidya tattva, it destroys all the ego, all the conditionings, all the vasanas, and the life becomes blissful. So therefore, it's called as the sword of joy or happiness or sukham. And then chakri, shargabrin, nandaki, chakri. Chakri means the discus. One who holds the chakra, Sudarshan chakra. One who carries the discus called Sudarshana. Sudarshana means what? That which gives auspicious vision. The chakra destroys all the negative things. And only the positive remains. Hence it's called as chakra that destroys all the negatives and gives us the auspicious vision of the Lord. See, in this world, if you don't listen to the dharma, if you don't listen to the Lord and follow dharma, firstly the conscience pricks you, the conch. You don't listen to that, then gada comes. Gada will come and test you, tell you, put you into difficulties and say, yeah, you better behave, otherwise you'll be finished. Even still, if you don't listen, then finally chakra. not that Lord is lost patience and releasing the chakra. The Lord releases chakra, what it means is, in this body, there is no possibility of redemption. You need another environment. You need another environment to grow. You, in the plants and all, the cross-pollination has to happen. Otherwise, it's not possible. You study nature, it's beautiful. Whoever designed it, I don't know. You know, the birds, they eat the fruits and they drop the seeds as they fly, they go and drop it somewhere and they create forests somewhere else. In the name of technology today, slowly, slowly we are making all the birds go away. We don't understand how everything is important in this universe. And you can destroy all the forests, you destroy everything. Slowly what will happen? You would have created a lot of gold, jewelry and money for your grandchildren, but there will be no water, there will be no forest. Therefore, your grandchildren cannot live. If there's just the gold and all that, how can they live? So chakri means, it also denotes how the dharma is maintained. Sarga dhanva. Sarga dhanva. One who has the bow called sarga. One who aims his unerring bow called sarga. Sarang, a lot of people have his name, Sarang. So the bow of Narayana is glorified in our text as representing the ego, as the apex of all the sense organs, Hankara Tattva. In this concluding stanza, the instruments of blessing in Sri Narayana's hands are remembered with reverence and devotion. So this is the interpretation Chinmayanandaji is giving. The Saranga Dhanva, see, the bow of Rama, or any bow, any lord who has it, is used for the protection of the virtue and destruction of the evil. Any weapons, he's talking about conch, sword, discus, and then bow, everything. He's only talking about the supreme dharma. Supreme dharma that is upheld, which is represented by the weapons of the Lord. That's what it is. So that's why he says, unerring bow. Unerring bow called Sarga. That bow destroys evil, protects virtues. So if you protect dharma, you protect yourself. So you need to hold on to dharma if you want to protect yourself. Dharma doesn't require you to protect it. You have to protect dharma for your sake. Gadadhara, one who holds his divine club called Kaumodaki. Kaumodaki is the name of Lord's Gada. So this Gada, what does it do? It again destroys the evil and spreads joy. So it spreads beauty and joy by destroying the evil. And in the Shastra, they talk about this maze as representing the intellect, the man, Buddhi Tattva. So Gada represents Buddhi, Saranga represents the ego, Conch also represents the ego, Nandaki represents the knowledge, that which destroys the ignorant, the sword. And then the chakra represents the human mind, because it's through the human mind you see the perceptions. Therefore, the Shastras attribute this to the discus, divine discus, that which represents the human mind. And then, Ratanga Pani. One who has the veil of the chariot as his weapon. again this chariot, Tathangapani. Tatha means chariot. Tathangapani means the chariot itself is a weapon of the Lord. That's what it means. One whose hand is the wheel. Again, it represents the same chakra only. Another time it is mentioned, some people interpret it like that. Some people interpret it as the ratha in which he is traveling. Tangapani. One who has the wheel of the chariot as his weapon. You know, you see the wheel of the chariot. You would see in some places, people carrying the chariot and fighting. Chariot wheel, I mean. Chariot wheel and fighting. So that is called as his weapon. And akshobhya, one who cannot be exasperated by anyone, by any act or acts, however blasphemous they may be. One whose peace and calm cannot be stormed out by any happening in this outer world. What it means is, akshobhyaha means one who cannot be destroyed by anything. One who cannot be upset by anything because he controls all the above mentioned weapons. He has all these weapons. You cannot use any weapons against him. The only way you can conquer the Lord, which way it is? Anybody? Which is the way to conquer the Lord? Anybody?
When you merge with the fullness, if you merge with him, you become part of Bhagavan.
Bhakti. Bhakti means love.
Mm-hmm.
The way to attain that Godhead, it is bhakti. Bhakti means knowledge is also bhakti only. We are sitting and studying. It's another form of bhakti. Bhakti expressed in the knowledge format. Bhakti expressed in an emotional format would be the bhakti practices, rituals, etc. But here, so therefore, you cannot fight against the Lord. Lord has all these weapons. No weapon will stand against Lord. But if you go with bhakti, he melts. If you go with love, he melts or she melts, whatever way you want to represent that truth. So you're not supposed to fight. By fighting, you achieve nothing. By dissolving your ego and expressing your devotion, you achieve everything. So akshobhyaha, one who cannot be upset by anything, as he controls all the above mentioned weapons. Whatever weapons in the world, you can create further new weapons also. Sarva prahranayudaha, 1000th nama. There is no rule that the Lord has got only the above mentioned weapons. All things which can be used for contacting or striking are his weapons. Sarva prahranayudaha. There is no rule over and above Lord. He's got all these above mentioned weapons. Anything that is weapon in this world is all Lord's weapon. So no enemy can surprise him. So if you take the protection under Lord by surrendering to him, you will automatically be supported by the Lord. That's what it says. The conqueror of all, one who has the weapons to meet any missile, however powerful. In other words, what it means is, you come under the protection of the Lord, you will be protected from all evils, whether it is diseases, physical diseases or mental illness. It is true that if you really follow sadhana correctly, even your immune system improves. In fact, there is the story of Kanchi Shankaracharya. When he had fallen sick long time ago, I believe he got fever more than 103, 104. He did not go and get admitted in hospital or something. He asked few Vedic chanters to come and chant Vishnu Sahasranama. When they were chanting Vishnu Sahasranama, he was just sitting and concentrating. And it is said that he got rid of the fever through that. See, there's a lot of benefits like this if it's done properly. Because end of the day, everything is in our mind. The immune shakti, everything comes to you. Sarva prahrana ayuda. All ayudas, whatever weapons you may think of, is all of the Lord. So there is no way you can fight with the Lord. The only way you can do is to surrender to the Lord and come under the protection of the Lord. Then you will be protected. You go against, then you will have to face the wrath of the divine laws. That's what it means. So with this, by the grace of the Lord, we have seen, we have gone through 1,000 namas, but we have to study it again and again and again. No. Otherwise, we won't get anywhere. So after this, it's only Palastuti. So what I'll do is, we'll do one more class where we'll do the summary of the Palastuti. Instead of going verse by verse, we'll just do the Palastuti summary. So by next class, we should conclude. And after that, we'll have to decide what text we want to do. Is that okay? And also in the meantime, you can find out if we can start our classes in person. Because if we do Upanishads and all, it'd be better we do it in person. Is that okay?
Yes, Guruji.
Yeah. So let's conclude.
Now. Guruji, can we do Vedanta treaties?
Yeah, we can do
Vedanta. We haven't done that.
Of course, yeah.
Can we do what?
Vedanta treaties. We haven't done that, no?
Can we do the Gita again?
Or we can do the Gita again. Yeah, I don't mind.
Whatever you want.
That would be lovely also.
Yeah.
You all can discuss and tell me.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Om. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om. Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Udyatmana va prakate svabhavat karomi yadyat sakalam parasmai narayanayeti samarpayami. Hari Om.
Hari Om Guruji.